Its current state on WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. Michigan saw its first human inhabitants after the massive glaciers that crossed the landscape carved out the Great Lakes. Our state has a rich archaeological history, and state officials want to share it with us. Tomorrow, the Michigan Historical Center in Lansing hosts an annual tradition, Michigan Archaeology Day, brings field researchers and the public together to learn the stories of what lies beneath our feet. Joining me now to share some of that knowledge, Michigan's state archaeologist, Dr. Dean Anderson. Dean, you've been with us before. It's nice to have you back.
Thanks, Mark.
Before we get to what Michigan Archaeology Day is all about, talk to us a little bit about our state's archaeological profile, if you will, here. Does Michigan have a particularly rich history of early human civilization?
Well, we do indeed. A lot of people think about archaeology and they think about Egypt and exotic places like that. But here in Michigan, as in all across North America, there's a lot of archaeological history and a lot of stuff going on. There's research being done by the universities across the state. And this is the sort of thing that we keep learning more stuff. That's part of the goal of archaeology, so that we know, for example, today that based on the evidence that's been recovered, we think that people, Native Americans, first came into the state roughly 14,000 years ago. And this is right on the heels of, as you say, the glaciers retreating to the north, animals like mammoths and mastodons coming into the state. And this is very, very early on in the first occupation of Michigan. And you go from there into, as population grows, we see more people, different kinds of animals, different kinds of environments happening after the glaciers retreat, and so different kinds of archaeological sites. And you go through that whole history of pre-contact, pre-European contact, prehistory, and Native American history for, again, the better part of the 14,000 years up close to the present. And then once you get to the contact period, when you have Europeans arrive, and the French are the first in Michigan, and you get into sites like missions and trading posts and forts, that sort of thing, and eventually homesteads, town sites, farmsteads. There's a whole range of archaeological sites that are relatively recent that people oftentimes wouldn't think about as an archaeological site, but all that stuff is out there, and people are doing research on those kinds of sites.
Is there an archaeological discovery that's been made in Michigan that rises to the top for you?
Boy, oh, that's a good one.
I always flash on the petroglyphs. I've visited in the Thumb area a number of times, and I forget the exact community it's in, but there are some really interesting petroglyphs, pre-contact, if I'm not mistaken, up in that area.
The Sanilac petroglyphs are up in the Thumb.
Sanilac, yeah.
Actually, they aren't that close to a community. They're out there always. They're all along the Cass River. They're not too far from Cass City, Bad Axe, Ubley, up in that area. The petroglyphs, as to the best of our knowledge, were carved probably between 1,000 and 1,500 years ago by Native people. And it's a Marshall sandstone outcrop. It's a relatively soft stone. And that afforded the opportunity to do these carvings. And we have spent a lot of time in recent years with the Saginaw Chippewa looking at this site. The Saginaw Chippewa have a very strong interest in this site. This is a sacred place to them. And they have a lot of information about their interpretation of the site and their interpretation of the glyphs. There's over 100 carvings across the rock, which weren't done at one time, done across a period of time. And those glyphs range from people to animals to handprints to geometric shapes. And it's a fascinating place. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a site that the state operates, and it's open to the public.
We're talking about Michigan's archaeological record ahead of tomorrow's Michigan Archaeology Day at the Michigan History Center in Lansing. Dean Anderson is our guest. He is the Michigan State Archaeologist. Now, are these scattershot discoveries here, or do patterns emerge that really help us understand our early history?
Patterns of archaeological sites, you mean?
Yeah.
Certainly there is that, yes, because during the different time periods, there are certainly patterns of where sites were located. For example, one of the things that's interesting about some of the earliest sites is that the Great Lakes levels, water levels, were changing rather dramatically, so that at various periods of time, some of the beaches today that existed back then are way inland. So that, for example, you may find archaeological sites on what we would consider old beach ridges far away from the lake at this point. So you see patterns in the sorts of environmental situations that those sites occur in. Also, you see patterns of people using the environment in certain ways so that much later in prehistory, we see people beginning to congregate along the lake shores because they're taking advantage of fish resources and they've developed the technology, net technology in particular, to go after deep spawning fish species. And so you begin to see patterns of large warm season villages along the lake shores. So those sorts of things do certainly happen. It's very common to see patterns of where sites are relative to features like rivers, lakes, transportation routes, and that sort of thing.
Well, let's talk about some of the presentations this year here on Michigan Archaeology Day. There are two MSU researchers, Dr. William Lovis and Dr. Alan Arbogast, who will talk about their work at Sleeping Bear Point. Speaking of beaches, this is, of course, one of Michigan's most popular tourist spots. What are we finding there?
The research, and Dr. Bill Monahan is also involved in that research, too, who's at Indiana. They have been doing a study of dune features along Lake Michigan, actually, for a number of years. And what's interesting there are several things. They're doing coring into the dunes to get samples that they can date. And it's a very interesting dating process, very different from radiocarbon dating, where it has to do with exposure to light. And so they're looking for, let's say, levels in those dunes that are deep down or no longer exposed that back in the past were surfaces where people would have lived. So there are archaeological sites in those dunes, and they're looking to find those sites, document those sites, and in particular, be able to date those sites and date the formation of the dunes and when people were living in those areas.
Do you know how deep they have to go before they're likely to find anything?
Boy, I think the short answer is I don't exactly know. I think it varies depending upon which part of the lake they're on. I think they're going down with those sampling procedures at least several feet, and it may be more. But I don't know exactly.
Another really interesting discussion tomorrow is the story of Lieutenant Frank Moody. He was an African-American pilot during World War II, who was tragically killed in a crash here in Michigan. And this is kind of a shift. This is obviously more recent archaeology here. What's that story?
This is an underwater archaeology situation, and we try to include that in Archaeology Day because there's so much offshore land around the state of Michigan. But that's a project that Wayne Lusardi, the state maritime archaeologist up at Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary, has been working on. And Moody was a Tuskegee Airman, and it was only 22 years old when his P-39 Air Cobra went down in Lake Huron. I think it was April 11th, 1944. Wayne and a lot of those folks focus mostly on shipwrecks. So this is very different, looking at an aircraft. And the aircraft was found by some private citizens a couple of years ago, and they let the sanctuary know. And Wayne has gone out with divers to document the site. They have found parts of the wreckage. They have been down on the location more than once and been able to they found gauges, the engine, I think, wings of the plane and so forth. So it is an archaeological site, but it has a very different story,
right,
and it's harder to get to underwater.
Doesn't go back centuries or millennia.
There
will also be a number of special displays at the museum. Two of them are presented by, we'll call them the Lynns. Dr. Lynn Evans is with the Mackinac State Historic Parks, and Dr. Lynn Goldstein leads the campus archaeology program here at Michigan State. In fact, we got a little tape now that relates to their work. Last year, current state's Kevin Lavery went up to Colonial Michilimackinac, one of the longest-running digs in North America. Here he is talking with one of Lynn Evans' student assistants.
In the pit, Western Michigan University grad student Elizabeth Curtin digs with a measured blend of excitement and precision. You're being very careful about this, Elizabeth. This is not like sweeping up dirt off your kitchen floor. There's a technique involved, I can see.
There is, yes. The goal here is to try and keep all of the different soil types separate. So that way, when we get all of the artifacts out of it, we know exactly where in the square everything was found. So we have to be really careful to only dig a certain amount down, only one level at a time, which is about a tenth of a foot. We don't want to go any deeper than that at a time. And we try really hard to stay level and to keep all of the soil types separate. So it's very painstakingly neat.
Can you give me a guess at the rock to cufflink ratio?
Oh, well, so far this season, we've only found one set of cufflinks, and I have not found any cufflinks yet, but I have found probably several hundred rocks already, so that would be a very small ratio.
Well, that really captures, I think, the painstaking detail that archaeology demands. Great patience.
Yes, it does indeed. This is something, if somebody comes to watch an excavation and they stand and watch for even a few minutes, one of the common comments is, I wouldn't have the patience for that.
Yeah.
And it is a very detail-oriented endeavor, it's detail-oriented and it requires patience, but boy, the thrill of discovery is a part of archaeology that I think anybody can relate to.
Well, we read about dramatic discoveries in the newspaper, but there's an awful lot of tedium that goes into every dramatic discovery, to be sure. We've been talking about archaeology here in Michigan. Tomorrow, the Michigan History Center in Lansing hosts the annual Michigan Archaeology Day. Dean Anderson is the state archaeologist. Dean, great to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.